What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Sarlacc Digest, a podcast bringing you line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over a thousand years. This is episode 251 being recorded on March 20th, 2024. I am your host, Darth Moocher. I'm here with Scott Solo.
What's up, nerds?
Grand Admiral Franz.
Hi there.
Ernie will be joining us shortly when he wraps up over there.
Celebrating his 500 subscriber.
We're going to need a splash screen for that.
Every week. He can get to 5,000. We're still at 500.
So funny. I love it. And then let's see. We've got lots to talk about. But before we get into all that stuff, we're going to kick it over to Scott to get our Shadow Council shouted out. And everybody's being digested in a pit. I'm getting ready for tonight, man. I can't wait to talk it up. So, Scott, take it away.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Special shout out to our amazing Shadow Council. Without you, that new intro we have wouldn't be happening. So thank you for all your donations. That
it would just be a very different intro.
I know it would be. It would probably be the same old, same old. Who likes the same old all the time, right? Got to mix it up every now and then.
It'd be a PowerPoint with me beatboxing.
Yeah. Well, shit. Now I want to see that. All right. So give me a beat while I shout out these names.
Oh, no.
AJ from the Forbidden Panel. We've got Brandon and Anya Epler. Wow, that was really short-lived. Brian C. Cliff. Commander Cook. Crystal E. Dennis McGrath. Don the Dad Dorn. Eric Grubb. Flavie Davey, formerly of the Nerds with Attitude podcast. Gavin Connor from the Holy Hour All Cure podcast. And if you are a fan of some just really cool, kind of grungy type of folk rock, check out Gavin Connor. He's got his new album that just dropped from his other band. I don't know how many bands Gavin Connor's got right now, but Minox, his band, the Minox, just dropped their second album last week, I want to say. And it is pretty badass. So check it out. You can get it on iTunes or Apple.
We're going to have like a break and a music number. Here we go.
There we go. Hey, maybe we should reach out to Gavin for an intro tune one of these days.
Let's go.
Yeah. Then we've got Justin the Vanilla Thunder, Luke, a.k.a. Junk Droid 77, Mervine Bolanos, Matt Logic, Nicholas Schaefer, Papa Schmitty, Ryan, and the Star Joes podcast. And another thing, Ryan from the Star Joes podcast is about to launch Stealth Hammer issue 3. His crowdfunding for issue 3 of Stealth Hammer is about to drop. So keep an eye on that. If you don't follow the Star Joes podcast on the interwebs, give it a follow and check that out. But if you are interested in joining the Shadow Council, just scan that QR code right there and donate a couple of bucks. And I tell you what, every dime of it goes back into the production of this show. So thank you, everybody.
Nice.
Long and drawn out. Wow.
Gavin says he's on it. So it's official.
All right.
The Minox will be doing our theme song. Gavin, I'm sorry. Scott kind of committed you there.
So. I did. Sorry. All right. So in the chat, we have got Don the Dad Dorn. We have got Mr. Brandon Epler himself. We've got Rhino Hobbies. What's up, Rhino Hobbies? Gavin Connor is right there. We've got Bootleg Joe. Hey, Bootleg, I hope you're doing better, man. I hope everything turns around for you there,
buddy. Everybody, think about Boot and his family. They're going through some times right now. So we can't wait to get you back into the swing of things, man. Things will get better.
That's right. We've got Gordon in there. What's up, Gordon? Hello. How you doing, Gordon? And of course, we've got cult leader. That's Antonio from the Holy Hour podcast right there. Checking in from New York City.
Get a rope. Well, we just aged ourselves big time.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
I don't know what you're talking about. You guys are old.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, yes, thank you very much. Of course, you know, the pit is going to, I think, chat it up big time tonight, right? But first I do. Okay. So I want to get into the Bad Batch real fast because you know what? Quick. Bad Territory just decided to be a filler episode and there's not a lot, but I will say something that I was yelling at Scott about, that I got to do a little bit of a retraction, just a little bit. So this whole, and it kind of, I had to go back and watch last week's episodes too. So I'm just putting it out there for the record, 'cause it is actually important moving forward. the M count program was never said like I did. I said it was like they were chasing Omega because of her M count. They were chasing Omega because of the M count program. That wasn't like, so I had to just kind of like take a step back and be like,
what's
all right,
the difference?
I don't the exact. Well, that's the thing, right? What I was kind of like adamant about was they were after her because of her M count. Right. And that was never like said officially. It was, she was part of this M count program. We don't know the exact reasons why they want her. So I just wanted to kind of get that back on record, because it does kind of change the narrative just a little bit, right? If she's important because of, they were the sampling of the blood kind of stuff.
I think more that we're not to get back into it, but more the question was M count the midichlorians they have or the midichlorians they can have?
Again,
think it was ever a question about Omega.
I was assuming it was because of her and why she was like the key. I said, I'm just retracting it, meaning like, okay, that was never said, but I could still imply it. You know what I mean? Enough. It was just not officially set in stone. So, I just wanted to put that, because again, moving forward, when we do talk about it and stuff, it's kind of important. Anyway,
we took time every time you were wrong, dude, you know how long these episodes would go?
I don't think I'd be on the show.
Like, hold on, we got to put a whole segment.
Those are new Thursday shows.
Murchie's mistakes.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Now go. Matt Logic checking in. Evening all. And of course, Crystal E. So we need our soundbite, Crystal.
She walked by my office today and she went, yo. I looked over and she went, hi.
Hi.
And kept on going.
That's hilarious. Okay. Yeah. So Bad Batch guys, let's real fast. Let's just get it out of the way. This was a major filler episode. We had some Crosshair Omega moments. You know, he's very forced stuff. Again, I still say she's going to be moving rocks by the episode 14.
Oh, yeah, but, dude. Oh, yeah.
She brought up Gunji. Yeah, she brought up Gunji about meditation.
The meditating. And she has the beads on and everything at this point. She's full on Jedi hippie.
Doing
everything but making rocks float, dude.
it's coming.
But yeah. This is one of those things that we talked about last week that hadn't happened yet. Is one of the video game episodes, and I mean, this was a straight. The screen comes up and it's Fee, you know, and we're going through all this deal. Okay, the quote about the Liberator of Antiquities, was that Indiana Jones? Is that what that was?
That was Fee.
Yeah, I get it.
Talking about Fee, but yes, I think that's a reference to.
But a pirate, okay. But yeah, that's
we were talking about that when Fee first joined up with the cast. It's like she is basically Indiana Jones in Star Wars universe. So
yeah.
They gave a nod today.
Yeah, they did.
Her a pirate, cool. And then
Liberator of Antiquities. I love it.
Yeah. But then so that sets it all up to go do something, right? And then they end up, because they have to get with a bounty hunter. Then they go to Fennec, and Fennec's all, hey, you can do this, but you can't afford it. But, you know, you're the pizza delivery guy. We can pay different ways type of thing, you know? Now I got a mission that I need you to go on. So they go on this hard mission to go get one of her bounties, and she's going to get all the pay on it.
It's a side mission for a side mission.
Yeah. To get information that, wait for it, they didn't get.
Yeah.
We'll get back with you guys in three episodes.
Right. It's kind of like whenever a Sith Lord would hire a bounty hunter that would hire a bounty hunter that would then get a droid, and the droid wouldn't do it, but it got the worms to do it, and precisely, it still failed.
Hey, it works smart, not hard, right? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you just keep working it out, right? Subcontracting the work. Yeah. You know, you just come out with a good piece of it. And
yeah, in the meantime, the Bad Batch, they're just right in the middle of it. Just, okay.
That was basically the episode. But maybe even the scenes, like right when we were getting on the boat, about to get on, and you're on that dock, that felt like a scene from Bounty Hunter, the video game. Like the coming down there, the way the water was, everything. All of that looked just like it. The water scene was cool on the boat with the Crocs or whatever they were underneath. Yeah. There was some cool stuff. The show looks fantastic. Do you notice when it's Fennec, the animation is completely different?
Is it really?
Like it's tough, man. It looks more like a Pixar or a
I got
Jimmy
you.
Neutron type of 3D to me. Like it pops off the screen differently than it does with the Bad Batch. It's like they try to make her
more cleaner,
match up
right?
To her
more
too much. Cleaner. She's way cleaner.
Yeah,
way cleaner. It's an odd animation. I think it's just because of how real they're trying to make her look because she exists.
Probably. Yeah.
Maybe.
But they don't want another Inquisitor kind of breakdown where it's like, oh god, yeah.
You know, going from live action animation, it would be accepted, no problem.
Yeah,
I think right because they'd be like, oh, it's stylized for animation. But you go the other way, nobody it doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a little bit because
especially with the Inquisitor, you look at Revenge of the Sith, and they did that species proper with the elongated head and all that.
It started that way 20 years prior. Why couldn't we get it? You're right.
Yeah. Right.
Damn.
I think Scott Winter is checking in with us from Facebook.
That is Scott Winter.
Awesome. Yes, it is. What's up, Scott?
You had a 50-50 shot. Nice shot.
Yeah, I know, right? Santo 1414. And we got Rhino Hobbies. Yeah. So.
They're waiting to talk that trailer in a minute.
Oh, we're gonna talk trailer. We just have to get this out of the way. We got to get the important beats out of the way because you know,
if this would have been the Asajj episode, then it would be a little bit more in depth talk.
We go 3 hours, 100%.
Yeah. So that's kind of we can almost get out of it right now because that's kind of where they do all this stuff. They get the bounty. She's gonna get her money. They're okay. Well, where's our money? Our pay. She's like, well, I didn't say I had it on me.
Yeah,
I was in it though. Yeah. And they're like, that's not the agreement.
Fennec pulling the rug out from under them, bounty hunter thing.
And here's the thing. Fennec looking right at Hunter and Wrecker. You going to fight me? Or are you going to trust me? And they're like, back off. Oh, shut up. why are we doing that? She just hired you guys to go do the job.
And just to put it out there too, the mission that they were going to go, that Fee told them to go do what they were questioning. What is this M count thing? What is this thing? And they're like, well, I don't know. But back in the day, the Empire used to hire bounty hunters that would go after this program. So
they don't know anything about Fennec. They just know it's M count people with high M counts.
Right. So is this going to be like a bounty hunter to bounty hunter to bounty hunter thing? Right. Like Fennec didn't know, but she knows somebody that would know or possibly know. So. And I'm thinking we know Cad Bane's in this. Cad Bane was hired to find Force users. So Fennec and they know each other. They were both hired to capture Omega. So they're both they were both same circles, which could lead to Asajj. So we got actually it's like a hurry up and wait and see. This is a very setting the groundwork for other bounty hunters to come in.
I think it's the reverse. I know why you would think she would go. It was going to Cad Bane right there. It makes sense but I think right now, I think at the end of that episode, if it was Cad Bane, they'd have revealed him because he's been in Bad Batch.
100%.
He's been in Boba Fett. He would have just turned around and been like, "Well," he would have said what he said.
Right. And it wouldn't have been like a big mic drop.
Because now later when we see Cad Bane, it's like, it's Cad Bane. I knew Cad Bane was coming. Obviously.
Exactly.
But if it's
Asajj. This is the way checking in. Visage's voice is DP.
That's what I take. That's exactly how I take it. It's going to go from there into Cad Bane. And I think the big reveal at the end is Boba. I think that's going to be one of the ones at the end where he's doing something with the Empire hunting. And that's where it's going to kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
I think we're starting with Asajj getting to Boba.
I know. Winter's saying better be Dengar. You know, if it's all in one episode, that's cool. But I don't want five episodes of tracking down what the thing, because we only have like six episodes left or whatever it is, right? So
you don't want to go into a full bounty hunter war unless we're going into something like that, but that doesn't make sense right here.
There's another spin-off animation, right? They hired the animators, like I mentioned last week. Lucasfilm is on this hiring kick about animators. We know that
Bad Batch. They're going to introduce the path and then do an animated path show.
Right? That'd be cool, the dark side animation that Scott brought, and we do the bounty hunter wars. Like that is a perfect setup, and I'm hoping that there is more animation coming.
We were wondering about Asajj, the next project. That's it. It's about the path. That's where we're gonna be.
Yeah, let's go.
Guaranteed. And if it's not, then I'm out of Star Wars forever.
Yeah. Sure, I'm excited for that, but you know, guys. Okay, so we'll have to see what Bad Batch takes. Again, this is a very filler thing. There's not a lot of points. It's still a good episode. Still interesting, you know, but it just kind of we needed this. I wish it was a double episode so there was more substance, but We're getting the main mission. We got some more crosshairs trying to get better by meditating with Omega. So we'll see if that does anything. She's like, medicine's not helping. What about spiritually? Like
that's kind of the point. Okay, so AZ-1 and Crosshair, right? So that there's the thing right there is he's like, look, there's nothing we can do. We've done everything medically to fix you, Crosshair, telling him and Omega. Right?
Yeah.
It's not physical anymore. Maybe it's something that happened there. Maybe, and he's like, you're saying it's mental. He's like, it's not mental, blah, blah, blah. And that's why Omega
that
is sitting there meditating
I like that.
With him on a rock. I love that. I love
that. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
I love the way Crosshair was with her. What did he say when he looked at when she started to meditate? He looked at her and they animated it so well that the smallest bit of a smile and twinkle in his eye, right? Did you catch, I mean, it's like, and you see him turn and it changes. I'm like, damn.
And the fact that he went with her, like, okay, I'll do this, and you're growing on me, and that.
And then she put her hand in his hand, and that I felt like that was a Rey Grogu healing type. Like,
I thought she was going to heal him. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, moving rocks.
Yeah. Well, so again, they're setting some cool things up. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want to hit This Is the Way's last comment right there? Yeah.
So he's saying, love your show.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Scott. I'm just so used to doing it. Saying rumors online said that the music played Ventress' theme at the end when Fennec was talking to the distorted voice. Can't see why they would do that if it wasn't Ventress. I agree. I don't know
Ventress' theme, but I'll dig it.
I don't either.
This is me doing a 180 on the road right there. Like, I now am full speed I didn't really pay attention to that, like the distorted voice. I just kind of like, oh, it's Cad Bane. And I just kind of like,
It just didn't make sense to me timing wise. I did show Cad Bane.
Yeah, and you saying that, and then the distorted voice, I didn't catch it. So I'm with that. So next week it is. Next week.
Next week's episode is the Harbinger. So episode 9 is the Harbinger. So I have no doubt. Yeah,
that's what we were guessing anyway, right? Because I would say just because they mentioned it this week doesn't mean we'll see it next week. Because you know how Filoni is, right?
Yeah.
Oh. We'll get it later. But
see, Filoni doesn't have more seasons to do it. He's got to do it now.
This is it. And, you know, if that was the filler episode to turn the corner to get us through here to Asajj and the bat shit.
It wasn't a bad episode. No, it wasn't bad. It was a filler, but it had some good, like I said, the good marination, the good stuff that in between there that sets up a lot of the emotions and stuff like that. So
yeah, you know, even Omega at this point, this will very grown up. Like, she is out of
Omega.
It's a different twist. It's Padawan Omega. Jedi Master Omega.
She's listening half the time now.
Okay, she is. She is.
Rhino Hobby saying Asajj has to show up next week. Yeah, I think it's time. We're over halfway point. It's time. Let's get her in.
If she's going to be anything of importance and not just a one and done, right?
There you go.
Starting out.
Yeah. Sabersmith checking in. Cheers, guys. What's up, man? So do
we think that if this does go off into this tangent, since we still have a few episodes, we can theory craft a little bit. Do you think if we do go off into this tangent with a animated show about the path, do you think that maybe it ends up the only way to keep Omega safe in the long run is that she goes with the path and separates from... from the Bad Batch?
Yes, because
they die.
Even if Hemlock's threat is neutralized, it's Emperor knows, and everybody else knows now that because, I mean, Hemlock's not, it's not a secret anymore. They need her, and it's going to be a thing. So either like that bittersweet moment, we don't know what that bittersweet moment is. Either she's captured and used, or she has to leave everything behind to go into like protective custody, right? With the rebellion or a pocket of rebellion.
Bittersweet, like right? Yeah. Bittersweet isn't death for Omega.
No, it's
bittersweet is saying goodbye.
Right.
Bittersweet is saying goodbye, doing something like helping start the path and going off in a safer place and doing something right. Although I see the clones doing next. I think the clones need to.
I think so too. I don't think Omega. Yeah. The only thing is like Omega. It's if you find out you are the key to like this project, you're the key to this necromancer, right? And they find out, why would you go put yourself on the front lines of anything? Like, she probably will want to, but she's going to be forced to basically retreat into hiding, and that might be the bittersweet thing. It's like she wants to fight, but she can't because you cannot risk yourself being caught to have the Emperor have what he needs.
I think she goes into hiding because then Disney can use her
anytime
in the future for anything.
So you've got Star Wars The Path, and you've got your main characters are Asajj Ventress, Quinlan Vos, Maybe Wrecker, maybe one of the bad, maybe one of the Bad Batch does survive. Crosshair. I don't think it's going to be Crosshair. Yeah. I don't. I honestly think
because as soon as we get close to somebody, whenever they do that,
that's what I'm saying. Oh, stop it! But I wouldn't mind Omega. Crosshair, but yeah,
I could imagine Omega and Rex being a regular part of the show, right? Something like that. So
that whole crew that Rex is with at the in Rebels, right?
Gregor and Wolf. Yeah,
they could all just do a split off another clone show, though.
I know.
I'm okay with it.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are going, but
yeah, the fan base might hurt.
Let's put Omega in live action after this.
Here a bit of recurring roles, though, not necessarily a main role.
Yeah.
Even
that. Well, what is Daniel Logan doing? Right. Put a wig on Daniel Logan. There we go. We've got Omega live action.
Oh dear.
Would he do it?
Yes. Yeah. Wasn't even no negotiation even.
Yeah. I do like the fact that we could still view Bad Batch and still have kind of like get going to go deeper within the lore and stuff like that. It's not like what was season two or season one where like, what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing.
This all matters now.
Everything definitely that not a right resistance now, show. Yeah. 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 Right. That's the danger. Rhino Hobby is saying it probably be Crosshair dying since they're making him likable again. Yeah.
Whenever somebody gets close to Omega, you start to feel like something bad's about to happen.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yes. That pulls your heart out every time, right?
So. I could honestly see it, you know, Wrecker or one of the Bad Batch surviving. I don't think all of them are going to survive, but you know, I'm always Mr. Doom and Gloom anyway. But I'd love it if Wrecker survived. The bumbling brute. You know, it'd be a different take. But I don't think. I don't think Hunter. Hunter is too straight and narrow. You know, he's the guy who would, he and Crosshair would sacrifice themselves to save the other two, right? And Wrecker would do anything.
Yeah, so. Wrecker would too. For all they all would. Yeah. That's the thing. Shoot, yeah. Omega would. So it's hard. It's there are people going down. I don't think we're gonna Rogue One it. But
no, definitely not. It's going down. I was just gonna say, like, you know, like Brandon Epler is saying, no one's dying. They all live happily ever after. It's Disney.
See,
it's also so Rogue One.
So here's the thing, though. They've overplayed it so much. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, right? They were really the voice actor, Dee Bradley, right?
And, Dee Bradley, and all the guys
in there were talking so much about get your tissues ready, And they were really talking up how the season was going to go. And it's like, you know, when you tell me how sad something's going to be, I'm ready to be sad. And if I'm not tearjerk, now I'm going to be upset. Right now, it's like you better. So
we got ourselves in trouble during the sequel era by somebody saying the most epic Star Wars thing ever, or the most shocking thing ever, and we were like brainstorming on what it could be, like what would jolt our nervous system of something happening, and then when it was like, was that it? Yeah. Because
or all thriller, no filler.
So we have to be careful about those kind of expectations about the bittersweet tearjerker stuff. We just sit back, let it happen.
Brandon saying that was more of a wish. Rebels was animated and he killed off my favorite character. You know what, man? I agree. But it wasn't a waste.
You know what I mean?
No, it wasn't. Yeah. Clone Wars season 7, too. That final episode when Jesse and all the other clones. I mean, talk about emotional just bloodbath. That was bittersweet too, you know.
Yeah. Also Felipe checking in.
And you know what, to that point, dude, Filoni knows how to pull the right strings and what to do with us. So I'm not worried, man. What I worry about are the things not in Filoni's control. Like the movies all the time, right? And other shows.
Speaking of, I mean, I know we mentioned Rogue One being a thing. Last week, I kind of like briefly said, hey, I think it's coming again.
Rogue Squadron.
And now, yes, thank you. Rogue Squadron is becoming a thing. It's all over the place. Even Patty Jenkins, I think she even came out and said
she's working on it. Yeah. Since they canceled Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
That's what she had left for, was the timing, because they canceled Wonder Woman. And now that they've canceled Wonder Woman, she's back on this. And it's like, oh, no.
So it's the perfect thing Star Wars needs, right? You got Wonder Woman 84, which is okay. You know, it is what it is. Exactly. Wonder Woman was okay. Wonder Woman 84. And then a canceled Wonder Woman. But yeah, let's throw her in the Star Wars movie again and put her back in the mix of things. And how do you think that's going to go?
I mean, because I thought there was relief when she was done. I felt it. I felt like it was across the board. Like nobody cared.
You know, it's not something that was, it's almost like a filler movie. To me, Rogue Squadron is like a filler movie. Where are you going to pinpoint? How are you going to bring it into this major canon? I know that they could develop it in the Mandoverse kind of stuff.
Right.
But they said it wasn't going to follow the Stackpole books.
Yeah. Right? And so I was like relieved when it was shelved. Like, I was kind of like, okay, cool. I don't have to. It's like one of those things, like, I don't have to deal with the internet. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, I don't have to deal with it.
When it was originally on the books, though, and it was still being written, whenever they introduced Corran Horn in the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. You know,
he was
the little boy that was smuggled out. Yes. And so I got a little excited. I'm like, okay, could we see that? Could we see some form of Rogue Squadron that we saw in the Stackpole books? But then Stackpole came out and said, nobody's talked to me at all. Nobody's.
Right. Right.
So,
well,
where are we putting this? Could it be, if it's in the Mandoverse, could it take the place of the Rangers of the New Republic?
I thought it was sequel time frame, hence why we didn't get Wedge and the crew. I thought it was more later.
I think originally it was here's my thing, though. What kind of puts me at ease is we mentioned his name. Dave Filoni's in charge of the story group. So, so you had the supposedly canceled Rogue Squadron. Dave Filoni takes over the storybook, and now it's back on the table. So it has to go through his filter, right? It has to go through this major, you know, story and intertwine. So maybe it was like, all right, now I have found a way to bring it back. And so you can have this, but she's rewriting it again. And so that's a good sign. But at the same time, I think the sentiment's already there. It's already there. Just like when we get into Acolyte, things have been said about the Acolyte to make the internet kind of go in arms folded. And I fear that Rogue Squadron will be arms full. And hey, look, I'm guilty because I didn't want the Rogue Squadron movie because I felt it was not in, like, at the time with all the things going on. And Patty Jenkins, to me, doesn't have a good track record, okay, to give her a Star Wars movie. And that's, again, that's me. And prove me wrong, right? Like, we're willing to be proven wrong.
The hard part is putting a non-Jedi-centric Star Wars movie out. Rogue One made it. Vader saved it. I mean, that made it bigger than it was.
Vader was the cherry on top, but the movie.
What are you going to do that if it's in the sequel era? I mean, really? Yeah. It's just a war movie in space, and it becomes a sci-fi movie more than a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
the magic gets lost, and everybody seems to forget that. That's my complaint with Andor, the magic, and that's Star Wars. You know, and otherwise, well, I get other just regular old sci-fi.
Yeah. You surround it by, you know, familiar characters, familiar locations, familiar aliens, and you can still get that Star Wars vibe. The Rogue Squadron books didn't have Jedi in them, but they still worked. They worked really, really well. It was basically Top Gun in space.
I guarantee some of those pilots are going to have Force abilities.
That's where I was getting. Corran Horn ended up developing into a Jedi, right? He did have those Force abilities. So there's a way.
Which could go into the Rey movie, right? That could bridge the Rey movie.
I'm not going in arms folded, but at the same time I'm going in with great trepidation because I don't think it's a movie that, I mean, Patty Jenkins, I liked the first Wonder Woman movie.
It wasn't great, but it was okay.
It was good, you know.
Yeah,
the second one wasn't, and I'm not familiar with her other works to really gauge.
Yeah, like,
but what I do like to say is that she's not a big mouth. You know, she's not out there making grand statements that are getting everybody all riled up.
She hasn't felt the wrath of the Star Wars fandom yet either. Because Rian Johnson wasn't it. Nobody heard of him as far as like whatever. And then when he started hitting back, that's when everybody was like, oh, whoa, whoa. You know what I mean?
It's when you fight back when it gets.
Yeah, but Bad Wolf Media did. It's a good point. There was a report of a lot of studio interference, and that can kill. It does kill half the Hollywood movies out there. I totally get it. If this is, like I said, if Dave Filoni is your interference, right? If he's the one to be like, yes, no, then basically the buck stops with him, you know, and moving forward.
You know and I started thinking about this a lot between Filoni and then the way it used to be with, the way it used to be with George Lucas, right? It's all better back then because it was really one person running the show. You didn't
have,
and we didn't have a bunch of TV shows and cartoons. And when you did, he was very into it and he had his protege running it.
Right.
So now there's so many cooks in the kitchen, man. And they're all given different views and different things, and everybody wants their own piece and sees it, and everybody has a different lens. So it's coming in way too many different lenses at this point.
That's the thing.
Bad Wolf here, his last statement, I'm not going to change anyone's mind, but I'm all in on Rogue Squadron. We are the target audience because we here all grew up with Top Gun, Iron Eagle, Wing Commander games, stuff like that, and the Rogue Squadron books that I mentioned earlier. I freaking
Airwolf.
Airwolf.
And I totally get that. And I am sure it's great, but I'm saying when it loses the magic, and this is just me. This is just me. That's the same. You guys all love Andor. I like Andor. It's not magical to me. And that's how I feel a Rogue Squadron is going to be. It's like, that's cool. Yeah, those X-Wings were rad. Yeah, I love seeing the Star Destroyer. Great. Mm-hmm. Who sliced something?
Yeah, I get it, man. I get it.
Force. I get all it. That. If it takes me 2-3 movies to get to the Force, you know, when he's going to become a Jedi. Or did they add that in because they're realizing, oh, these aren't flying without a Jedi Force user?
Right, right.
But if I'm not mistaken, the Rogue Squadron books did have cameos of the original characters, too.
They did. Yeah, they did. That helps. But they were there. Yeah.
Right, so... And that's all you really need to keep going. Yeah.
Well, let's welcome Ernie, the Fallen Fed, into the show. Perfect timing because we're going to get into the Acolyte trailers, Ernie. You know, welcome Michael in the show also.
Federation. Happy birthday.
Yes. Hope the greatest Star Wars crew and your families are doing great. Yes. We will let the greatest Star Wars crew know that you're thinking of them.
We'll give him a call.
What's up, Bad Wolf? What's up, Rhino? Lots of people from the Federation joining us right now.
Damn right, man. Because you know what? Like I said, we'll wait and see what happens. I don't know. Rogue Squadron's like,
I'm going to see it twice.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
I don't want to go in there about the change my mind attitude, right? Like,
yeah.
No, I don't. It's not a matter of changing my mind. Well, it kind of is. It's like prove me right once.
I know
that it can work. I was for a long time. Now it's like prove me wrong. Now I think the other way, so I don't get disappointed. It's just that I know what works. At this, we all do.
Okay,
we know where the money is, and that's not sure. That's the money. That's a risky maneuver.
Yeah,
it's the build up to opening night. Whenever all we have to hear is the dregs in social media and in comments on videos and everything, just shitting on something they've not seen. They have no idea. There's no inside information. It's just they've made up their mind that this is going to suck because Patty Jenkins did Wonder Woman 84. And you know what? Screw it. I'm out. Yeah. I'm done. Arms folded. I'm not even going to give it a chance.
No, that's fine. I'm holding that against
her, but I will be there. I will be there. Obi-Wan Chingones. Good evening, fellas. Speaking of that whole expectations and all that stuff, you know, let's get into the Acolyte trailer see, do you guys have that same kind of reaction after seeing the trailer and us talking about it for so long since the inception of it? And now we saw I don't know if it's added, but I think it's basically the trailer that was shown in Celebration 2 years ago.
They cleaned it up, I think, but
maybe added. I was thinking the first half was, and the second half is all brand new.
I think the last bit was new.
Yeah,
like the last scene, maybe they said. I'm just trying to get snippets.
But the thing about that has been that footage has been around that long, and they've had this long to like kind of sit on it and tweak it, right, and do all these things, and
not give us more,
and not give us more of it, right? Oh. Yeah, and it comes out in June 4th officially. 2 episode drop June 4th officially. First off, that poster, is probably my favorite thing in Star Wars right now. Is that teaser poster, the lightsaber with the blood representing this a Sith saber, and blood? It's like, that set to me, that tells me there's a tone to this series.
Sets a tone,
right? And I will let you know if I felt that in the trailer. Okay, but that teaser was like, be careful, especially around me, right? Be careful, because now I'm expecting something that's extremely dark, and we're gonna get the dark side movie or series that, you know, we all talk about, you know, behind the scenes. And so that poster dropped was fantastic. What'd you guys think?
The poster?
Yeah.
I thought the poster's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. The blood on it, it's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. On the other hand, what we got was, when did it drop today? Was it today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
What we got there, on the other hand, I'm not too convinced on just yet. And there's the poster. The top part? Yeah, but I'm talking about the poster right now.
Okay, yeah.
Age of Light, Darkness Rises. Just for anybody who may have not seen it yet.
Sure.
And the other one's the other official one, right?
Yes. They're like
us all in our desert planets. We love them.
I know, right? Yeah, look at that.
Is that sand or water?
Yes.
It's dirt.
Top of cloud, right?
It looks like clouds.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. I'll take clouds. I'll go with clouds. That's good. Yeah. Let's accept that.
This is the ways I'll say, like, this is kind of a legit. I'm worried that only 8 episodes and 20 minutes plus each, it'll be over before you know it. Yeah.
The finale is like 40. They're mostly in the 30-ish, mid-ish. Some of them not reaching 30.
Expect Mando-esque type energy and stuff. But usually the short ones are the best ones, like Mando, right? The shorter episodes are good.
When you're like, wow, that was a lot in there. Because a movie's only 2 hours, you know? Right? I mean, we should be able to fit a lot in 2 hours or 2 movies worth of time.
Yeah, yeah. Diablo Cooling, the Acolyte trailer was new to me. I wasn't on Celebration. So we didn't see it in Celebration. It was premiered there with a private audience. So this is the first time we're actually seeing it in clarity because there was some leaked. Yeah, there was some.
We may have seen a bootleg or two. We may have seen a bootleg or two over somebody's shoulder. But
on somebody's phone in line. I don't know where it came from, but
exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 99% of the people, it was all brand new. And I watched it as a brand new trailer, too. So I guess the question at hand is, you know, like I said, all our hype and talk and everything. And this it's a teaser trailer. OK, I don't want it anymore. I just want to watch the show. You know, I'm with that. Like, look, murder mystery, whatever. Someone's killing Jedi. Darkness rises in a time of, you know, the golden age of the Jedi. So, OK, that's what this did. It set it up. I guess my reaction is like. I guess I set myself up way too about dark side stuff. And I know that they're not just going to throw it in our face at the very first trailer. But at the other hand, it's like, why not? Like, why not just throw it in our face? Like, I want to see maybe at the beginning, you know, just on, you know, murder a Jedi in the trailer and then show a lightsaber.
They just said people are killing Jedi. They're not going to show it in the teaser.
Show it. I'm done with the, like,
to show, me, don't I'm tell. Getting
tired of the sneaking around corners and stuff. It's just like,
The show's for. That's what the show's for. Not
I understand, but
the
we could have gotten that because that poster and that kind of trailer would have been like, oh, double smack, right? Mm. That's just my initial thoughts. Okay. That's just my initial.
You're such a horror fan.
But, right. Yeah. I don't want blood and guts.
Jedi left and right. I want more.
No, I don't want blood. I don't even like the Jedi in this one. I don't like any of them, but go ahead. I'll let you guys go.
I just, for me, it was, I think part of the problem was I had seen, you know, at least bootleg footage of it before. I was expecting a little bit more. I mean, the most interesting thing about it was a red saber flying through the air, which, and some of the aliens that we saw, right? But we didn't see the aliens do it. They were just like quick shots, and we saw a red saber flying, somebody catches it, and that's it, right? I was maybe a saber hit it, maybe a couple saber clashes where sabers are hitting each other, something like that, just to stir up a little bit more excitement, right? Because it was very alien child, Jedi, alien, lightsabers, woo! Oh, done, right? That was it.
Yeah.
What else? It needed a little bit more to, you know, give a teaser. A slight bit
there literally wasn't excitement. It was just introductions of characters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then right after that, StarWars.com immediately put all their names out, who all those people were in the trailer. What they
set the stage.
All of that. It set the stage. And that's weird to me.
This friggin' guy right here. Rhino Hobbies, don't show the trailer to Anakin. you get all bloodthirsty.
Yeah,
I lost.
Sorry,
it.
Chris.
Sorry, it's a setup. The trailer was set the stage of the time frame.
Oh, just like High Republic did in the beginning, right? Like you have all these millions of characters, and you're going to give me all this introduction. That's the only thing that ever does it is High Republic. It's weird, and that's exactly what it was.
And we needed that. We needed that in High Republic. I remember that. Chart, I know, right? The chart that we had that had all the different characters and their relationships with each other, and even with that, it was still so hard to follow.
Yeah,
and
hopefully we don't get to that at this point. But What I like the trailer. What you catch really fast is that it's going to be, you're going to get two different time frames, right? You're going to see her young in the Jedi.
You caught that too. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because
she's fire, bro. That's
her. Yeah. Yeah. There's so no we're talking about the assassin.
In the very beginning, when you see the Bothan Padawan and you see the girl, the kids, and they're saying, close your eyes. What do you see? When the girl says fire, that's her. That's May.
That's the assassin.
The assassin. Oh, is it
really? That's what I'm assuming.
I did not.
When you watch the Master of Soul, right? The Jedi Master, the adult. He's got a younger face in that first one. You can barely see it too. I mean, it's pretty blurry, but he's got a younger face in the first one. He's much more aged, you know, in the later scenes. Okay. But that's gonna be her. It's gonna be like a Reva type thing, it looks like.
It's a Reva thing.
I get the vibe that she's not really the bad person.
Right.
That's
right. Like there's another, she might be trying to save it from a third party. Like there's like what you kind of asked for before, right? A third faction.
She's
the kind of like that. She'll be like, and we did factor.
Those witches, a different type of witch, not Night Sisters, but
maybe it is though. I mean, maybe that is the foundation of the Night Sisters in our universe, right? Maybe.
Could be. You know, so I did get questions on where this takes place, because you know people go, oh, what is this now? It's like it's 100 years. We just set the stage. It's 100 years before Phantom Menace. And I have to say, like, okay, you know, the Sith Lords have decided to infiltrate government, instead of just, you know, hand-to-hand combat and facing the Jedi head on, they were going to corrupt from within. And that's what the whole Plagueis plan was. Plagueis and Palpatine. Was it Tenebris? Tenebris?
Yeah.
Should Tenebris be alive at this point.
Yes.
Plagueis is master. Yeah. What's so.
What'd you ask?
I was just wondering whose breast it was.
Tennis. Okay. Yeah. So Plagueis is master, which I was hoping that's the one who caught the saber at the end. You know what I mean? That's where.
Or his masters, or, you know, Tenebris.
Something, right? So, I mean, you know.
Something to make sure the line that we know.
Yeah.
Has a start, and we're seeing it like, oh my God. Like, that's going to make us excited to get that lineup.
Let's get them, man.
Yeah, correct. Right.
That sucks is Tenebris is not necessarily canon. I mean, the name might be canon, but
here's the show that can do it, right?
Tenebris could be her, for all we know.
True.
Could be. But Tenebris was a Bith.
Not canon.
Not canon.
They could do whatever they want. The thing is, we don't know names yet. It's still new, right?
May. May's the assassin. I wonder which
one. She's the assassin. There was a shot in there that she had a dagger to Carrie-Anne Moss. She had a dagger. I'm like, oh, that kind of looks like the dagger that Rey held, that Sith dagger, right? Sith artifact dagger. It kind of looked like it. And I was kind of hoping it would. Like, I'm hoping it does come out to be, you know. But I know the figures that came out there, it didn't show it had multiple daggers on her.
Right.
I'm always looking for.
Was it multiple or was it an effect?
No, there was. She comes with like 3 or 4 daggers.
Yeah,
they
go on her boot.
Yeah, it wasn't like a
What I found cool.
I thought it was an effect.
Yeah,
cool and weird was Kelnaka, the Wookiee.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
because there's a Jedi Wookiee in the High Republic 200 years before this, Buryaga, and Buryaga's young there. Yes. So now Scott has Buryaga. I mean, spoiler everybody. Did Buryaga die already? Because I thought Buryaga was alive right at this point still.
Buryaga. No, he's alive. Technically, he probably did die in Starlight Beacon, but they liked the character so much that suddenly he was alive.
Just like Chewie.
In the next book. Just like,
suddenly, Buryaga survived.
So it's weird that you would bring another Jedi Wookiee.
Like, doesn't bode well for Buryaga.
No, not at all. So that's kind of strange, but that was one that caught me.
Yeah.
And that they are bringing one
Omega's friend.
Right.
What's that? Oh, Gunji.
Omega's friend.
Gunji.
Yeah, he's... I mean, there's our other one.
130-140 years in the future, though. So
But these guys live 300-400 years, you know.
Yeah. How old's Chewie?
180.
He's 300 in the original trilogy. 300. Around there that, right? So.
I thought it was 180 in Solo.
In Solo, he says it.
Yeah.
And then we got to go through our timeline.
You look great.
Like 190, by the way. Yeah, 190. Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah, I mean, what was Tarful? I mean, he was like 500. Who knows? But you're right. Not to use that Wookiee that as like a direct.
Yeah, it's weird.
Kind of
it's
weird.
Yeah. And it's Jonas. It's Chewie.
It's him
playing mm-hmm. him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
But it, that is, it's just weird to me that you wouldn't just use the same one to make him age. The only one they brought from High Republic is Ro.
Venestra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So overall, I'm excited for the show. Yeah. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. you know, I throw that out there about the dark side stuff, right? Because I've read books before that has these little hints and secrets, and nothing comes to fruition because you can't disrupt canon going forward. You can't disrupt the Sith have been extinct for a millennia. You can't disrupt the hidden nature of right. the Sith purpose. So there is an agenda there that can't get out.
Right.
But like I said, but I want, as much as I want a heavy hitting series, I do want the Sith lore. And I did hear that this is going to be where the Sith are the underdogs and the Jedi are the like, you know, control and just whatever. So you might be rooting for the underdogs at this point in this kind of this setting, you know.
Yeah. These might not be Sith. Maybe they have been extinct.
That's my other thought too. Yeah,
it's like just a dark side user, and that blood we see, it could be symbolic of two things: the purse, the people, or she's going to bleed a crystal, right? Because coming out.
Yeah,
of
Sith, yeah, yeah. You sure,
know, I something mean, like that.
The lines in it says somebody's killing Jedi, and that's where it's like, okay, all right, let's go.
Remember, even when they saw Darth Maul, he had a blade, and they knew it was a red blade, and they did right. not immediately think it was a Sith Lord, you know, or be able to yeah. prove it.
Only
out.
Only Qui-Gon.
I think it may have yeah. been a Sith Lord.
Must have been right.
Dark. Only yeah,
has
yeah.
To be. It's
a yeah. dark side power to bleed a crystal. It's not necessarily a Sith trait where yeah, Sith yeah, has the exactly. well, and, overall ambitions and, to take over. Yeah.
And in the High Republic novels, they've established that there are other factions of dark side. In the current novel, Yoda is actually working with the dark sider to try and figure out how to stop the creatures that keep killing the Jedi left and right. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's, if you read those novels, you can tell that it's building up to this. They are reestablishing the dark side during the yeah. High Republic era. So yeah.
this is the way of saying Kylo Ren, same thing. He wasn't Sith. He was a, you know,
yeah.
red right. lightsaber.
Oh, the other cat in there, the other guy, is the yellow saber. They did say he's actual a guard. He's a temple guard.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, cool. I hate when they have cool costumes and they don't wear them, right? Like, if you're a temple guard, let's dress you like a temple guard. I don't need to see your face. Yeah. Yeah, put a guard mask on. But that's why he has the yellow saber. Because I thought yeah. it was odd. You know,
there was a yellow saber. I didn't yeah. notice that.
Yeah.
So those are the
temple guards. You know what? Okay. So this is something interesting, and I don't know how up to date this is. Right. I looked up the IMDb for Acolyte, and I was looking at the cast because I was trying to get character names and trying to, like, you know, get it embedded in my head, and I saw the episode list of
oh, really?
How many. Yeah, so if you go to IMDb and Carrie Ann Moss is only in one episode, according to that, a lot of the people that we saw in this trailer are only in one episode, and it's the first episode.
That's High Republic type shit right there. So we'll get Master Indira is her name. So we'll get yeah. her for a minute, be like, hey, she'll start the mission off. That's one of the Jedi get wiped out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like that,
all
those people who saw the red saber do not live. And I was trying to like pause it, and I was like, Carrie Ann, she's not. Maybe she is part of it, but the Wookiee's not in there. The Plo Koon character looking dude is not in there. It was just all the people who we're seeing that we got figures of. I think they're all going to get wiped out first episode, and that might set a real punch in the face, man. That would be like, oh crap.
I mean, that would be a kick in the nuts, right? There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with
but
that.
But it's cool. It's funny. Yeah. There's a lot of people on YouTube, you know, up here with us that are saying, can't believe they're doing this. How can they throw out what Ki-Adi Mundi said in The Phantom Menace whenever he said
but they're not yet. Yeah, exactly.
For millennia. You know, if you think about it and think that maybe these people know what they're doing, maybe, you know, yeah. with a story with a head storyteller like Filoni that is still overseeing the entire story group.
Yeah.
Maybe they've thought of that.
Yeah.
Maybe they know that
that's a legitimate.
Yeah.
That's
maybe at the point that this show is over, you have the right. ones that will survive. You have yeah. Yoda and Yaddle and Rancissis and the older ones that survived that long, have a yeah. meeting and shut this thing down. Right.
Weren't there to witness it.
Or they were, and it's like,
or they weren't there to witness.
No Sith, no more attachments. Dot 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 dot. And the Sith were never here.
The Darth Maul book is a perfect example of how where I think this series is going to be, like where two Jedi saw Maul and they were basically on their way to Tattletale, and Maul, during the whole book, he hunted him, cut him down before the secret can get out. Just like what's his name with Fives and the Order 66, right?
Yeah.
Like he knew about it, but he was running to tell some, and that last minute they got cut down, and so the secret remains safe.
I really hope that they do. I hope they know. I hope they know and they hide it.
Here's that's the thing. Someone mentioned Yoda in there, and that would kill me. That would destroy me if Yoda's in it and he knows and he let it happen, or not let it happen. He was just kind of like,
he shut it down. They all said they have this secret bond for the next 100 years that nobody talks about this. Yeah. You know,
because it disrupts the flow. Because because I also
the rules
saw, now
the rules are going to get changed. Everything's going
to
happen.
And awesome. Somebody mentioned this, and the thing was the robes. So High Republic is yellow and gold, white and gold robes. This trailer jumped to this brown robes and everything else, right?
Well, some,
and
it's that a mix. Might
be, but it might be a symbolic change in the way that what the Jedi's role in this thing. In the High Republic, the Jedi were independent from the Republic, meaning they were out there of Guardians and Peace and Justice, and they had their own ships. They had their own kind of ways of doing things. They weren't sent by the Republic until something might happen, Acolyte. And then now the brown robes is a symbolic change of they're part of the Republic now.
Well, they had both back then. And she said that she wanted mainly, to keep the white. You know? And she said she really wanted to keep the white because that just shows that they're not at war. Right? Well, when you have the darker colors, you're at war. When you're in the white dress all the time, nobody's ready to go fight. You don't need to.
Except for Holdo. The point of Except for Holdo. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right.
Do you guys want to go over the characters really quick? Because I think I can pull up their little dossiers on StarWars.com. We can go through them if you like.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Okay.
And we'll just say, yeah, that one's dying. That one's dying. They're all dying. That's cool. Carrie Ann Moss is only in one episode, or according to that, only in one episode
that we know of so far. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Now. Let's get rid of.
So here we've got Indara. Yeah. Thank you.
So we can see Ernie.
I don't know.
Yeah, so Master Indara. I had this kind of suspicion that she was the Sith Lord, and the assassin was working for the assassin was trying to kill her, like or she's the apprentice. That would have been a good role.
And maybe still could be.
Could, because again, think about this: like Palpatine's ambitions and Plagueis' ambitions to infiltrate politically, but nobody who has tried to infiltrate the Jedi within, right? If she is Jedi and she's among them. Cloud of the dark side, all that stuff. And so now we have twofold. This one didn't work, but the political realm worked. So it could be a thwarted plan where they knew about the infiltration through the Jedi through Carrie Ann Moss, right? That would have been a good twist, because Leslie Halen said the trailer is not what you think it is. Didn't she say it's not?
She said, you think the acolyte is, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just like a wild kind of like, okay, tables turn. What if she's the bad and the assassin was sent to find the person who's killing the Jedi and ends up being her, because she is on the defense of this whole
thing. A spy thriller.
Jedi.
I am excited. The whole premise of it excites me. It does. I'm jacked for that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's see if I can share the other one. I think I can figure this out now. I usually pull these, and I apologize for not being,
No worries. Let's go.
All right. There we go. That's a little bit better.
Soul.
So right here, he looks younger than the other ones. And then the girl that says the fire,
that's the assassin. Yeah. I'm because there's a scene of her running in flames behind her like that. It's just kind of symbolic, right? There's this parallel between that, a fallen Jedi and, or it's always a fallen Jedi.
Yeah. The fact that he's training the class means he's like a master Jedi,
a grandmaster, right?
Grandmaster. He's,
Yeah. Like Yoda.
That's Yoda's job, teaching younglings, right?
Yeah. One of them. Yep. That's pretty neat.
Until he gets cut down, then Yoda takes over.
Oh, poor guy. He hasn't even started yet. We're already killing him off.
This is the show to do it, though, right? I mean, I know there's a season two. They're already working on season two. So obviously, it's not going to get totally resolved going at in this season.
Yeah.
So. Right. So then we've got this guy. Did it come through? Yeah. Okay, good. Yep. I don't even know how to spell it. Khmer? Khmer? Yeah.
Yeah.
The former smuggler. So a Poe character, former spice runner.
Han character.
Somehow Poe's a smuggler.
China, right? Oh, yeah, we decided to tell you in the third act.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Poe is Han. He's just doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad to see that though. Like a former, like somebody other than just raw Jedi, right? Like, you know,
you have to have it, but it's kind of like putting humans in the Transformers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. All right. Then we've got Jackie.
That's X-23 from Logan.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. And is this the race of the dancers in Jabba's palace? Like, you know,
yeah, with the red hair.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So, yeah. We never seen that again, right? That was like the first time.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Very cool. Okay. And
she dies.
Mm-hmm. She dies. Well, for sure.
This is the scene she dies in. That's a look.
That's the pre dang look.
The death look.
Oh, well, she's the one that says
she's at a temple here, isn't she?
What's that? And she's the one that does say, "What's that?" And then all of a sudden they've got, you know, red saber coming at him. So
and that you're probably right. Of red mist too, in that blast too. So they're either on Crait or that's a Sith thing.
Oh. Do you get the vibe that they were on Batuu at all?
You know what? In that diner, that little cantina scene,
when they walked into the town,
yeah, with that pergola thing, or that
I got that vibe.
Yeah,
I might finally get it.
Yeah, sorry, yeah,
yeah. I think that's.
I'm ready for it. Cool, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Then Yord. We've got Mr. Yord. What a terrible name, Yord, a Jedi Knight and guardian from the Jedi Temple. There you go.
Yeah, and also credited with one episode. So.
We'll poor see. Yord. It's amazing that all these people with credited one episode only have already got an action figure.
Yeah, and that's the thing,
his,
you know.
His last name is Ying.
You're dying. I love
You're
it.
Dying. I love yep.
It. Oh, I cracked me up.
By the book, he's a by the book Jedi.
Kilnaka.
We all. I mean, thank you, Journey. Thank you, Ernie.
I thought it was cute.
It was hilarious.
Kilnaka, a little bit. Story. Yeah. So,
out to avenge the death of Buryaga, his brother,
who lives a solitary life. Solitary life.
I could see that.
Because Naka right. and Akka would be related to Chewie.
Yes, of course. It's all in the, Akkas.
Yeah, yeah, that's the part, like Mithrani Wadu. You know, you got the same thing. The Akkas are.
Oh, the Akka family.
Yeah.
This is Lumpy's grandfather or something.
Fozzie's a cousin.
And that's how you know that Lumpy was not Chewie's.
Ouch. Oh, yeah. It wasn't Lumpaka.
Yeah, it wasn't Lumpaka. Yeah.
He's adopted.
My kid. Yeah.
And we've got Mother Anisea. Mother Anisea is the leader of a coven of witches who value their independence and the preservation of their beliefs and powers.
She sounds like she was the one saying it's about the power and who can use it. Is that
not
what
about
she,
good and bad? Yeah.
Sounded like her.
Yeah. That was her saying it, because there's a shot with her, and the mother at the beginning kind of does give that Night Sister.
So what about this? So the Night Sisters that we all see, even the ones that we see in Ahsoka, besides obviously the newer one, right?
Right.
They're all pretty much, they look dead, right? They're like dead, brought to life again. What if those are Night Sisters and these are sisters? You know what I mean? Like before you become a Night Sister, you're just a witch of whatever.
Well, what's her name? Had to go through that ritual and it changed her.
Yeah,
opinion,
exactly.
You know?
These are all free ritualed witches ready to go into the Night Sisters.
I think that makes sense. That makes
really good sense. Of the colors too, how this looks almost looks like a blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. red is Night red. Sister. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, just a thought there. I'd be in that. Because it's weird to have other witches, but I think if it matches up and they connect in some way, it's
pretty cool. I mean, witches, title of mother, it'd be very, very confusing if it was like a complete different faction.
Unless these are like the natural enemies of the Night Sisters, and you know, you've got two different families of now you've got two competing.
Not the Day Sisters, no.
That's right.
See, there's a light side sisters and a dark side sisters, and there's two sides of every sisters.
Six sides of every
sisters. And everybody's just looking for the stepsisters.
Spaceballs reference.
Spaceballs, yes.
Yeah. Witches get stitches. Thank you, cult leader. That's good. The light sisters. See, that's what I'm saying. The light sisters. Mm-hmm. Oh man. And May. So yeah, she's again a going with that IMDb, but she's credited with all 8 episodes, and she's the assassin. And we got her figure first, and that's the assassin part of it. You know, it could be like a Sith apprentice or whatever. Yeah, and her and Carrie Ann Moss's characters fight. It was like the little choreographed things that we've seen, but yeah. it's still cool.
See her bio here, right? May gets swept up into a sinister mystery, one that puts her in the center of a conflict in unexpected ways. She's not the
problem. Yeah, I don't think she's a Sith, and yeah, I think
she's twisted in. This is an Ahsoka story when you know yeah. season 5 where she gets twisted into something and Barriss yeah. is screwing with her. This is that.
Let's kind go. Of thing.
And yeah, that right there yeah. is that Luke's island.
Oh shit!
That would be really cool.
Yeah, dude. Why not? That. Why?
Let's make it.
Yeah, that's Octo. Let's make it. That's Octo for sure.
It kind of.
When I'm there like in it. When it I'm there in yeah. September, I'll look around for Sith artifacts.
You got to look for. You can find this. That little.
Yeah, I need this end. Exact yeah. shot. If it is, then it's confirmed. Yeah. But we'll have the show by then.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So the lighthouse. And they all fit into the blue.
And the Death Star.
It's man, yeah, and the Death Star. There we go. You see yeah. this little hook here that was forged on this knife hundreds of years ago points to this thing that crashed 30 years ago. It's yeah. it's perfect the way it lines up.
Yeah. Hey, so, prophecies. Yeah. Prophecies, you know, they work what weird are you gonna in do? Yeah, they work weird do? In Star Wars. Prophecies, you know, maybe misread the prophecies. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, Octo, let's I like it. I think in my
Batu confirmed. We're in.
Yeah. For in my Acolyte. Kind of like predictions, I don't think she is Sith or anything, but I do think she gets the she's helping the ideology of something, and it could be the dark presence of it. Like she's gonna be like
the sisters.
Maybe a former Jedi. Yeah, sister. But if she is like the former Jedi, you know, disenfranchised with the Jedi, maybe her visions, like she says, I see fire. Like her visions led her to this kind of life. You know, yeah. the outcasted or whatever it is. And maybe it's her role is that going, seeing the Jedi beliefs kind of fall, you know, maybe not into the point where killing them all, but changing within. And then because that's why I'm like trying to think of like a complicated kind of story where she can't nor confirm nor deny a Sith presence, but she's hired by somebody or something is going on.
Yeah.
Maybe, Yoda. Has her infiltrate. Yoda hears, you know, secret whisperings of something dark happening out there, and he sends her out there to infiltrate whatever it
is. She could be working with the Jedi too. That's the, you know,
part of the plot though is Master Soul is having to deal with somebody from his past, which I assume is her, right? So yeah. I don't think Yoda would be in on the hiring part unless he's doing a secret backdoor deal. Which is again something Yoda would do, so who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just probably she's part of those sisters, or at least hanging with them.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. And you got somebody else
pulling the strings on that. Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
And none of you guys have read the rest of the High Republic, right? Because there is a religious sect of force users that are out there too. I wonder if that's related to this mother person.
Okay.
I don't know if the Nihil or, you know, remnants of the Nihil still exist. Are we going to see that kind of battered Sons of Anarchy meets
Are you Star talking about Wars? The Church of the Force type stuff or the people yeah, that
the,
just
No, no, not the Church of the Force.
Cuz they're not force users. They're just like
No.
Right? Right. Or like the wills, right? The ones that
since you haven't read the novel, it's the second phase. There is a church dedicated to overthrowing the Jedi, and they eventually they're taken down, but they morph into what the Nihil becomes. So it's like what's his name, Markion Roe. His mother is a force user that is part of that religion. So but there is like a subsect of. Religious it's like every other religion on our planet, man. Your god is wrong, let's fight.
So that's why the Night Sister or the sister is saying
the mother
about the power and who can use it, who's allowed to use it type of thing.
Right.
So
get complicated. That's good. Get complicated with things going on. Set the stage of not just black and white as far as like good and light. Set it to where like we said, factions are fighting over the power, not just Sith and Jedi. Since the Sith have been gone so long and they've decided to do different things, the Jedi have been the power and they're the ones at the top and making all the rules and basically picking and choosing who becomes a Jedi and whatnot. Have these factions come and start to see a problem within the Jedi Order, or know that the Sith are coming back and decide to move against the Jedi as that third, fourth, fifth faction kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like they see that they know the presence of the Sith are there, but the Jedi don't, or they're hiding it, right? They're sweeping it under the rug. And now you have these other Night Sisters with her, whatever. And it's like that other faction, like, okay, we're going to kind of carve our piece before the Sith take it all over. And now we'll have our thing working with them. Like make it complicated like that, right? Because that's what we go deep into this whole thing. It opens up new factions, it opens up new alien races and religious aspects of the Force, and that's what's cool, right? That's what's I'm excited for, that kind of notion that could happen.
So. Make it complicated, yes, but if you're dealing with an eight short episodes to get through it all, then it first I mean season. But if there is a season two coming, then
there is, yeah, okay, officially. Well, yeah,
what'd you see official? She said she had it ready to go if called upon.
I didn't see that part. I just said that they've begun writing the second season.
She'd be able to get it started really quickly if they called it upon. That was her quote. They had to wrap it.
Well, it's right? Not they, a they kinda, like, Kenobi, press it, release it statement, right?
Right. They couldn't leave it just wide open because they don't know how it's going to go, man. This is a risky maneuver again. This is one of those, yeah. You know. And I don't want to get into my deal about it. And you could see flat out what it is in the trailer, right? Where there's a mix of folks. You're gonna have this is a risky maneuver again. They keep doing it. So they can't leave it wide open. They have to be able to close it.
The risky maneuver isn't doing it. The risky maneuver is talking about it and just do it, right? You can have a very diverse cast of people. You can have a very diverse cast of aliens, everybody, shapes, sizes, colors, whatever. Just don't go looking for a gold star saying I did it. And that's part of the problem is that the showrunner is looking for her gold star. You got a gold star because you did that, right?
Is she looking for it? Because
she wasn't there. Wasn't the interviews? That was the beginning.
I think that's what she's known for. Yeah. But in this project, I think she had a statement of like what you sent that article of like, I've got this thing I want to tell. And
that's recent.
Yeah, of course.
When this was go back, what, eight months ago, Scott, right? Celebration time, maybe around there even. That's when it was coming out. It was like, whoa, slick.
There was even a statement about her not really either. She wasn't really a Star Wars fan. They brought her in because of the rest of her body of work.
That was a different writer. That was a supporter.
Yeah, she's a Star Wars fan. She brought herself. Oh, okay, I like this part. Okay, this is when I got excited. She brought in another writer that had never seen a Star Wars, but she did it to be able to ground it. So when she's hitting story points, she's all, does this matter to me because I understand Star Wars?
She doesn't want her fandom interfering with the arcing.
Which I thought was really good. So, I mean, there's things in here I'm like, oh, that's neat. Oh, you want to tell a dark side story? That's cool.
She's a major Star Wars fan. Like in that article that we said, she had brought in Heir of the Empire. She had brought in EU elements. A lot of the stuff that we're going to see is callbacks to EU stuff. She's going to
be doing EU stuff,
You know.
So there's good things to hear. It's just when you see and hear the others, she started out early on the wrong foot. I swear, Iger.
Of course.
Has a right down to the bottom, don't do shit no more. Well, cut it out, you know. And the last couple of interviews have been nothing but, hey, I'm here to kick ass. This is going to be cool, blah, 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 blah. I've got pumped every time I've read something now, right? But you've already set a fuse on people. And
of course, like it's,
and that's boiling over right now.
Look, what we do is we take it and we put it in its place and we talk about it, you know. Yep. Politics are second, third, sometimes down the list as far as our talk, and it does come into play. Like, we're not naive to things. We're not dumb to that kind of stuff, but it's not our focal point of Star Wars. But
episodes about the Senate, then it's all politics all the time, baby.
Yeah, it needs to be. But it is divisiveness, and it is the point where you go, for God's sake, can't we just like have something come out where everybody's just like fist pumping and on board with?
Just get excited for it.
Yeah, and you're not going to please everybody. I get that. I know there's always going to be whatever, but you know, yeah, I don't know. It's okay. It's as far as like this series of what it's going to do to us. I think it's just going to fill in the gaps of where the time frame is. You know, I don't know if it's going to get really into what the prequels gave us. You know, I don't know. What we want is some of that Sith story with that Plagueis, you know, Tenebrae. We want kind of this buildup to it, you know, of where the, when the Phantom Menace hits, it's like, all right, you know, they did it, you know, and I think that's.
I hope that's the build. I think what you're going to what you're going to get to is part that we don't want is it's going to show how bad Yoda is. I think that's going
to
be. The
key. I don't want that. Yeah, that's and
it has to happen. It has to. That's.
Can we just pinpoint it on somebody else?
Yeah,
Mace Windu.
It's an extra row. You can blame it on Row, right? When she's there, because she won't be around long.
Yeah,
so you can blame it on her.
I'm going to blame it on her. I don't want to blame Yoda anymore.
And she's probably, they said she's considered one of the strongest, most, she's up there too. She might be the Grandmaster for all we know at this point.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
She could be.
At this point, she's about 200 years old. She's the master of the light whip, which is a lightsaber that actually becomes a whip. Honestly, reading the books, I forgot that she didn't die because there's such a Jedi bloodbath in the last couple of those books. It's hard to follow who lives and who dies. So whenever I saw her, I'm like, she looks kind of familiar based on the pictures I've seen. And then I saw the name. I'm like, oh, okay. I got to read that book again.
You know, she's powerful because she opened a door with the Force. And as we all
know, not a lot of people could do that.
We all know that's the toughest job. With the Force open
doors, she read that chapter in the book. It was in the hidden section, the forbidden section.
License, right? So you're using forbidden magic. What are you doing?
Man.
Most people don't.
I just gotta get a little mad.
Right. I also saw some reassurance about the High Republic and what you need to know moving into this, and they said not much.
Not much.
Other than not much. Yeah, not much. There are some characters that bleed over. There is, but it's mostly the. I think the show is going to set a stage for what this is, and the backstory helps, but it's not necessary. So there is that kind of reassurance too
about the afterlife. They did say just one character moves over from High Republic. Does that count, Yoda? Though
it's the one with the that's the one that opened the door.
I get it. I get Vanessa Rose there, but does that mean we won't see Yoda, or is Yoda an original character? Right, when they say you get one character from High Republic, they can come over.
Yeah. I think Yoda would count as an original.
I would think so. Like, he wouldn't be like, that's another High Republic character we brought.
But I mean, to that point, Yoda spent most of the first phase of the High Republic away, doing things in the comic books, which weren't part of the main story. So
now, would you want just a mention of him, like what he's doing?
No,
like,
I want him.
Master Yoda is over there doing. If we just got like a mention of it, would that be cool?
If it led to him being, you know, pointed at as part of the problem, then yes, a mention is fine. But if I would rather it just be, he's off doing the thing. But if he's on camera causing problems that lead up to what happens in the future, I don't want that.
I don't think it's a cause. I still have a little bit of purity. I think there's Yoda is pure. That's the problem. I think the problem is he's too good. Right. And
it's the surroundings that is promised. It's trusting by association.
Trusting. And he has attachment to people and all this stuff. And they're all attached. He's going to see that's a problem in his 800 years of experience. This is finally it broke. And I saw it happening and I didn't stop it. And blah, 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 blah. And that's where we're going to be.
If it does follow suit that he brings, like in the books where he brings the Darksider to the council, and the counselor are pissed at Yoda for bringing this Darksider before them, and they pretty much throw them all out. You know, if he pursues that and that dark side leads to attachments and causes this acolyte thing to start, that means Yoda is kind of at the very base of this mountain. He's at the root of this problem.
I hope. That adds just extra drama to it to me for Yoda, and it makes sense why he would run away the way he did too. Because I mean, I get that at least Obi-Wan is hiding, looking over something, right? Yoda's in the swamp, dude, doing nothing, just hiding. Why is it so bad? He's going to hide for 20 years. 24 years.
I'm going to meditate on that.
That's what he's doing. exactly for 25 years.
I'm gonna meditate on that. I have to.
It has to be that bad. Like if this is, he has to be sitting there going, "Shit, this is all on me, all of it."
I don't know.
I get what you're saying. I know. It does make sense. Like that exile, I'll go because it was very an abrupt thing for Yoda to do right after his first loss. Like, I built that lightsaber for.
It's like hitting the cab out of a bar. I'm sober. I'm done. Never drinking again. Like, no, dude, you just walked out. You're still drunk.
Yeah. Like you're exile, still, really exile, not regrouping. I mean, just you know, like, hey, yeah, you dedicate. You're at the. You're 800 some years old. I mean, what are you exiling for?
Do you think had Yoda been defeated, just, you know, was rescued by Bail and didn't give the explanation into exile, I must go. Do you think it would have just been better? I mean, like half the dialogue in Revenge of the Sith, just stop talking and do the thing. And it's great.
Yeah. That could have been saved for the talk with Obi-Wan and Bail and that thing. Look, I'm going to go into hiding. You're gonna go into hiding. You
must regroup.
Take care of the baby.
You know,
coming right out of the shaft. I gotta go run. I got a place. You know, all picked out.
Reserved for this moment.
Nice little waterfront. Yeah.
All right. Well, again, So two episode premiere. That leaves six episodes right after that.
We're still talking about the Acolyte.
Yeah. Well, we're just trying right now. How we're going to have Carson Teva's great 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 grandfather as part of
Carson Teva might look human, but we don't know if he's human. He could be 800 years old too. He could be some alien. Race.
If Carson Teva's like a couple hundred years old, that'd be awesome,
right?
I mean, seen a lot of stuff.
He's just a humanoid. I mean, that's. I've been there from the beginning. Carson Teva is Snoke, confirmed. he's seen it all. Empires rise and empires fall.
Michael Kicks Nostalgia, am I crazy, or is the way the assassin is sliding back and being frozen in place with a dagger looked odd compared to the force pushes from the past? I don't think she was being frozen, was she? It looked like one of those moves from the Matrix where they, you know, they just learned Kung Fu.
And I think it was just freezing. Pause.
A push and then a seething kind of stance there.
I don't know. It didn't read that way to me at some points, right? It was weird because when you're catching it, maybe it's unfinished. A couple of scenes, I'm like, oh man, that's movie quality, right? And then I'm all, oh, that's TV soap opera quality, like right in the same trailer.
Let me ask you this. The scene where the ship crashes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that movie quality or Kenobi quality?
It looked good.
Okay.
It looked pretty good, I thought. Yeah.
Is that where you were going with it?
I'm in between that. It didn't move. It didn't look as like epic stuff. But it did look better than a Kenobi kind of graphic. Because I'm trying to gauge where the budget is on this. Like, are we getting the Obi-Wan kind of like just throw it together? No.
The TV-ish part to me looked like when all the Jedi were gathered around on that planet about to ignite their sabers and go, then, you know, that looked very TV-ish.
That looks fan film. So is that a point of when the quality gets too good, it starts to look too bad? I don't understand. Is it frame rate? I don't get it because I'm not a video guy, right? So
sure.
It's hard because go to movies, I don't feel that. But when I'm watching I kind of do. When you watch
It should all be filmed at the same frame rate. It's the amount of money and budget that they have to render their graphics and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what can cause the problem.
Remember when when TV was a thing, like people watch TV movies and or a series, like say for the X-Files, and it had like this whatever graphic that came through, it was like TV quality. It was like
I think about it like soap operas have that weird look.
Yeah.
They have a much different look than everything else.
That's I think there is a frame rate difference between TV and theatrical, you know, 28 that to 32, hyper, something like that aspect or whatever.
There's something about soap operas where it's always hyper crystal clear and it's weird.
And it makes it look so real it's fake. And that's kind of where I get on what you're saying with the Jedi. That's exactly the part I was talking about. The people.
Yeah.
Right. When you see that, you're like, oh, what happened? Yeah. So I don't know. It happens.
All right. Well,
I can get over that though, because really it's a story that I really care about. I want to see the looks. I want to see all that too. It's all great.
Yeah, of course. But really, of course.
If it comes out, I'm just like, oh man. Because when at the end of the day, we only watch it a couple of times. We talk about it forever. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's how did the story go? How does it fit into our dialogue?
You're 100% right. Like, look, the prequels aren't the they're not the most cinematic as far as like that grit and dirt and all that, but they're very polished, very clean, very sharp, very bubbly and cartoony, you know, and we got over that because we look at what it is, what it presents, you know. Kenobi, I think for the most part, if we don't watch it, it's better. We could better to talk about it than watching it. Most of it, not all of it.
That's a really good point. Actually, talking about Star Wars or Star Wars Kenobi is better than probably watching it. You're right, because the beats were cool. The ideas were cool.
Besides the fights. Fights were epic.
And the Leia dialogue with him.
Yeah.
Everything else,
I can talk myself into loving Book of Boba Fett until I sit down and I watch Book of Boba Fett. I'm like, when are those Mandalorian episodes coming?
He's right. That's totally right.
Coming up.
Right? I love some Book of Boba Fett until I watch it.
Yeah. It's like I want to watch this, so and I wrong. Watch it, and I'm like, why did I want to watch this?
Yeah. Then I just got because I did it not too long ago, just got mad the whole day. I was just mad at you guys the whole day. I was texting in there, this is stupid. Fucking fake.
Oh man.
So wrong.
So wrong.
Ernie, when they do Book of Boba Fett season 2, and it is the greatest thing we've ever seen. It's all we've ever wanted.
They'll fix it, Ernie. They'll fix
watch.
It.
So are you rooting for Boba Fett to show up in Bad Batch here and be Alpha by the end? Do you think he'd be the big surprise, or do you think Asajj is the only big surprise?
No, I don't think he has to and do all that. I think that'd make it weird. And then we would need more explanation, of course. But I love the way Bad Batch is going, and this last episode, you know, was a good one too. And if they brought him, it's fine how they tie things together now. I feel then you're adding to a story that's supposed to be ending. Why would you be adding to a story that's ending?
Right.
You can do Fennec in them, and the reveal of Asajj is for a reason.
It's for a spinoff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we kind of like mentioned this whole thing about more animation coming in the future of this whole Lucasfilm thing, since Bad Batch is ending, and we do have Tales from the Jedi, but that's not going to take up 1,000 anime or whatever they're doing as far as hiring. So what's the next animation adventure? And it could be an Asajj spinoff, could be the War of the Bounty Hunter spinoff. It could be two different things from the Bad Batch. So in its essence, it could introduce some storyline that broke off Ahsoka for Mandalorian. Perfect example, right?
So the path,
right? You know, and I think I think it needs to focus on the story at hand and Omega and the M count and Necromancer and Tantus.
I agree. I just feel like at some point, you don't think it's a miss if they don't ever bring Alpha and Omega together, like Boba and Omega together. She's got her sister. She's got all of her brothers, but there's Boba who's been mentioned, in the series. And I don't know.
No.
I figure they'd want to test him.
I think if they just keep on going the trajectory they're headed in, and with those other animations, then you have an opportunity to do it. But I don't know if this series is that place, unless it happens with Asajj and Cad Bane. But at this point, they're all enemies, aren't they? I mean,
yeah. And I can tell you the ending right now. Omega's going to die, and we're going to cut to the Emperor saying, "There is another."
It's a hollow thing of
Boba. Yeah, he's like holding it up. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a million of them, but we've been killing them.
Right. Yeah. We didn't know they had to be not pure of heart, but you know what I'm saying. They weren't all. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So if I don't know. Since Omega is not, was Omega genetically engineered to be something else? Was she a straight clone, just engineered to be female rather than Boba, who's the male? There's a lot of questions. You know, would Jango have been the same receptacle for M count that she is, right? And Boba could.
I feel that way. The same where they're not altered. I've thought about that. I know we bring up Boba, but I would think, well, then if the main one was Jango, it's actually Django that we should be going after.
He probably would have been, if he weren't dead. Yeah. I mean, he would probably be the main source that the Emperor would need. Right.
But if that was the case, then all the clones would be viable.
They have Django's blood all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that's
right.
Like I said, I do think Omega was genetically engineered, and it was a secret. It was a secret for Nala Se. I don't think
Didn't they say in the beginning though that they had run out of the main source?
Oh, maybe.
I could have sworn there was something about that they had run out of the main source of
what
the.
See, I don't want to be wrong again, so I'm not gonna say a word.
They might have said something like that. That sounds familiar. Like they're out of something. I can't remember if it was here or somewhere else. But you're right. They did say something.
Could be. That's probably why Omega was there again.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, it makes my point even more. I would think they'd want Boba because he is the unaltered clone of Jay. Like literally unaltered, not gender wise, not anything wise. She's a bad batcher. She considers herself a batcher. She's altered. Right.
For the cloning purposes of trying to get the M count mixture correct, yes. But at this point, they've gone to conscripted people, so they do not need clones to continue the army. So I don't know why they. Yeah.
If she was a bad batch, as far as a defect, right? They considered themselves batch 99 defect, and if she was engineered to basically accept the traits of all of them, like we said, she takes Crosshair's traits, Hunter's trait. So maybe that was the key to unlock, and her DNA.
She's older
that
than
the midichlorians.
She didn't take nothing from them. She's older.
No, but the ability, I guess, maybe the ability, like altered the ability to absorb traits. Somehow, I don't know.
Yeah, that's and how maybe I see that's it. Because she really mimics like crazy,
Maybe that's the key for midichlorians to attach. You know what I mean? And then now you have a host. And I don't think it's Omega. I think it's Omega's engineering that they're after. Maybe not necessarily her. So if they could get her in it, it works for this Project Necromancer. And I love how we go back from Acolyte to Bad Batch. It's great. Bad Batch is actually a really good show because we keep going back.
Season three has gotten solid, dude.
So if the engineering of Omega is the key, they can perfect it later down the line. But they need to study that the way she was a clone, and it could be all by mistake. The fact that they went to a Kamino, destroyed it, and took everything, and they found an answer to something that they were going to do.
Yeah.
By mistake, I don't know.
I could talk myself into all of it and out of all of it.
Yeah, but the good thing is, I do think they've gave us enough to know that we're going to get the answer at the end, right? I mean, they've literally said it. We need to find out why they need you. Why are you so special? They've thrown that out a couple times, literally. So,
yeah, and that's the next five episodes.
It has to close. Yeah, you know, got tired.
Yep.
What's that?
Yep.
Because they said by the end of this series, this is the end of George Lucas's his legacy,
right?
Right, the things he had started to get to the end of. So they're gonna like the Zillow beast, man. When is that gonna come up? That has to come up. You know, there's only how many episodes? You say six?
I think five or six episodes left.
With there's a double many. Episode yeah. coming, damn,
and another double episode coming. So 4 or 5 weeks. We talk ourselves into a lot of like. They need to finish all these things, you know, but they can do it in one episode. They can really like hit those answers. You know, we use the Zillow Beast for this. Oh, done. All right, done. Oh, we can't use Alpha because we have, you know, Omega is the key because of.
Yeah,
they had a title to these bounty hunters. What was it again? They called them something.
You mean those special assassin ones? The secret? I don't remember.
No, the one saying of Fennec, and they went to Fennec. They called the bounty hunters something. They gave them a title. Like if they were higher than everybody else is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they were. It was.
Who is that considered is what I'm saying. So we know that Cad Bane is supposed to come back. Fennec is not one of them because they're using Fennec to find out the answer.
Right.
Cad Bane was used
he was there.
But that's because she didn't take that job.
Right. She didn't take the job.
She could have taken it. So she'd be considered one of them, but she didn't take the gig.
The point was there was bounty hunters that searched the galaxy for the Empire to bring force users, you know, the hunt of force users to basically either eliminate them or
I'm just
or
saying they called them something like ultra bounty hunters or something like that. I'm just using, it was something. It was a specific title.
M count bounty hunters.
You know, right. So just to me is who's considered that bounty hunter. Do you get what I'm saying? You're saying like, how can Boba be introduced? Well, we had. you know, Boba's group who we had when he was a kid and like that. So what is this group? And
Dengar, my thing is,
they really can't because he doesn't know Fennec in Book of Boba Fett. He saved
her. That's right. That's right.
Right.
Correct. So you can't have that meeting or him show up, right? Because they didn't know each other.
Well, is this right? Right here?
Well, okay.
Is this I don't know.
Is that, I don't know that we're clear that they don't know each other. Right? Because he saved her for a reason, knowing who she was. And when he said, I'm Boba, she says, she doesn't say Fett is dead. She says Boba is dead. First name basis. Right? She says immediately Boba. So he was masked most of the time, I would think. Right? Back then. So maybe she does know him.
I think
they've left it ambiguous enough to where we can say they can or can't.
I always chalk up all the bounty hunters. But you're right.
I've always thought that too. But looking at it and that series of events, it's like, they could get away with it if they pulled.
Is that what it was? This is the way S1 bounty hunters. S1?
I have to go and watch it again to confirm if there was a title given to like that.
That's what caught me, because again, I'm trying to watch this at work and I hated it. It was another stupid dark episode.
Yeah.
So it's hard again. So I was just listening again, but I did catch that in there. Explained it, because now I have to listen. I can't watch, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because it was messing me up. So I'm listening more. Mm-hmm. So when they mentioned the thing about the bounty hunters, they had a specific title. So that's where I felt like, okay, I know we still need to see Cad Bane. Is Asajj been hiding as a bounty hunter? And that's how we're going to see her as this leader?
Or if they're going after M-count people, kids, that's where we see her just fighting that. She's not the bounty hunter. She's going to Asajj because Asajj is trying to stop the M-count stuff. Fennec's not doing it. She didn't want to do that.
Fennec made it known. I didn't kidnap Omega, trying to fight it.
That's going to lead to Cad Bane and everybody else in there. That's how that'll work.
Cad Bane's doing it for sure.
Right. Because you can't make Fennec bad. Right. Because Fennec's an anti-hero now. Right. You can't bring Boba in and be bad. He can't do
anything. Well, I'd love to. She explained it. That was great because, again, that's why. Why do you like Boba? I thought he was bad. No. Didn't love how she said it. Good or bad, the money's the same.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's right. That's
what exactly. Right
there.
Yeah. Ask no questions.
But she wanted to make sure that they knew I wasn't kidnapping Omega for that. The person who hired me thought she was going to be safer with you guys.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And
right.
I lost her, which was great.
Yeah. Which is true. That was the line from Nala Se. Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, let's get out of here. I think we marinate this stuff going on, I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to say of it, you know, as we get closer to Acolyte and then the finale of Bad Batch. Like I said, it's great to have Bad Batch continuously coming back into play. Even if it comes through another show like the Acolyte, it's coming back to play. So it is going to be in a very important piece of us moving forward. And that's the key to a great Star Wars content. It's how much we go back and reference and pull things and add it to our grand timeline. Right. So, great job on that so far. You know,
we haven't had to do this with the first two seasons with them.
No, there wasn't a lot because
nothing, dude. I can't go back to those first two right now and tell you anything of importance that happened that matters.
The Kanan thing, and that's it.
The fall of Kamino, the Kanan thing,
the fall of Kamino, and that's about it. You know, so it's doing a good job, you know, and I'm glad to have that kind of turnaround for that, you know. So, and then, like I said, as I'm hoping that the Acolyte kind of settles down a little bit, you know, and people get excited for it. Cause again, you know, in the end of the day, guys, it's another story. It's not life and death. It's not like, oh my God, I'm going to burn a car down because the Acolyte
not affecting Han, Luke, and Leia in any way.
Right.
It might F up Yoda.
Yeah.
But it's not affecting the Trinity.
As long as our as long as we can theory craft around Yoda, then I'm cool. Like, you know,
Yoda's.
All right, guys. Well, again, you know what, Pitt? Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody here. I'm going to kick it off to Ernie early, and so I don't just like talk and then make him repeat everything I said. So, yeah. Ernie, why don't you go ahead and take us out of this, and we will see you guys.
Why don't you tell them where Scott is at the Art of Scott? Why don't you? Oh, sorry, just kidding.
Where to find everybody?
Go ahead and do it. I'll just go ahead and do it, Bernie. You just kick back.
Thank you to the chat for jumping in the pit with us tonight and being there and being so vocal. That's exactly what we love, and throwing your stuff and your ideas and your line talk as well in there. That's what we enjoy and love too, because, you know, everybody has a different thought here as the four of us do, and including Joey and everybody else. Become part of that replay crew. We have tons of other episodes, if you're brand new here, to go back and check out. We are on all social media, like Chris was saying. You got Darth Moocher over there as Toshi Station Emporium, who is the sponsor of this episode and a sponsor of
Let the There Fallen Be Fett Blood Chronicles. For us Acolyte. More blood.
Wow, you're going to do Jedi ones now too? Figure stands for all your figure needs, which that is a great
Vader. Yeah, Jedi and blood.
Everything from Space Walls. If you collect Micro Galaxy Squadron as well too, and you need something to display those, please go over there and check it out, because he has you covered. For sure. Oh no! More sorry, coming. Scott was pulling one out.
No, sorry.
I didn't go to Microsoft. Yeah.
Next up are these bad boys.
Figure stand needs. Oh really? Yeah. Right now he's moving through, because it's a hard,
very difficult. By the way,
it's a difficult process to go through. So your X-wings are covered. Yeah. Next up will be TIE fighters. So
let's get those guys
there. You go. Yeah. Absolutely. So thank you to Tasha Station Emporium.
Even if you've got Batman figures or McFarlane figures that fall over on those shitty McFarlane stands, Toshi Station Emporium has got you covered right there. Yeah. So there you go.
They don't work over there, but these do. Trust me, even in all the earthquakes we've been having.
Yeah, like I said, 4.0 and down and lower. They're good.
Rated for 4.0 and lower.
So far we've tested that. I mean, we haven't gotten to the 5 or 6 yet, but
knock on
wood. We will though.
Give it time.
ToshiStationEmporium.com, The Art of Scott Solo, your mama's favorite podcaster. Ask her. It is DarkDad77 over there. And you can find me on the Fallen Fett Chronicles on YouTube. Again, like I said, we are on all social media. So go check out TikTok right now for Minute Toy Reviews and much, much more. Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. If you just want like 24/7 Star Wars talk and funny memes and other info that comes throughout the day, join us in our Sarlacc community over there on Facebook. Everything that you need to find is all under here as well, too. Just click it right below and everything is there. And then go back and watch all those episodes until we come back on next week. Next Monday, there will be the second round. Yeah, there will be blood. Yeah.
There will be
blood. And after all the blood, then go check out one of the newest shows over here in our new programming. Who's gonna be on this?
The Sarlacc Toy Chest.
Who's jumping in? Yeah.
Tommy from 1313 Podcast. Tommy is going to be joining us to talk about the live stream that happened today. And we're going to talk about Hasbro. We're going to talk about Hasbro. All right.
Okay.
We're really
going to. And all three of you are going to be there?
Yeah. I mean, I plan
to be there going Hasbro.
Yeah. Bro.
Hasbro.
Bro. There are some major announcements coming. And it's going to be fun. Toy Talk is on its way. The next show this Monday coming up, the 25th.
Monday. Catch it.
Book it.
Go check the premiere episode that's up on here too. Like I said, we got a lot coming up, a lot for you to catch up on. So please hit that thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications, and hit all so you don't miss when we're on with all these great shows and content for you. And with that, Scott.
Oh, wow. Okay. He's throwing it to me. Keep it nerdy, everybody.